Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on August 7th. Are you listening? August 7th, 2013. One day you'll play this to your grandchildren. On Sunday, I was reading an article by my good friend. Let me get right into it. I was reading an article by my good friend, Hannah Morgan. She's called Career Sherpa on Twitter. And she said that it's very good for job hunters to be a conduit. To be a conduit. I always think of it as a conduit as a sewer that goes from one street to another, but she really means someone who connects people to each other. She means it's good to refer people to one another, you know, people who can help each other. Because here's why, I'm losing it. Here's why. If you do a favor for people, they'll want to do a favor for you. And that's what networking is all about. I say it all the time. It's not about being nice. It's about one hand washing the other. And that reminded me of one of my favorite books, one of my favorite books that I've never read. It's called Love is the Killer App. Love is the Killer App, and I love it because of the title. I like the way it flows out of my mouth. And I thought the title was very smart to say that love is a killer, but in a way that makes killing good. And why is love good when it kills? You want to know, don't you? Well, the book is all about love cats. That's what Tim Sanders calls conduits. And you can see right away that Tim knows how to sell an idea, because conduit is more descriptive, but love cat is more interesting, way more interesting. I wanted to be a love cat even before I knew what it was. And I'm going to tell you what the book's about. It's all about, I don't know if you saw Miracle on 42nd Street. You must have. You know, it's about being like Santa Claus. In that movie, Kris Kringle gets a job selling toys at Macy's, but he spends all his time telling customers where they can get the toys they really want that Macy's doesn't have. And at first, everyone thinks, oh, Kris is pretty crazy, but the customers love him so much that everybody sees his wisdom in the end. And, you know, Tim Sanders wrote Love is the Killer App back in 2002, and he claimed at that time that the bad guys of the business world, the people he called the barracudas, the sharks, and the piranhas, he said they were on their way out, and that the nice people were going to start rising to the top. It's 10 years later, and we can see that he was wrong. That hasn't happened. And look at this. Even 10 years ago, Tim was telling you to be nice. Why? Because it pays off. The assumption there is that people aren't going to be nice without a reason for being so, you know? And what's the motive behind being a love cat? What's in it for me? That's the background. That's what's driving it. And that's normal, because that's how life works. As I said in my own fantastic book, we are born to take care of ourselves. That's the driving force of your existence. It's beyond all thought. And I hope that my guest for today knows how to take care of himself when he faces the music on Jerry. What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal. Ready?
Thank you for that one, Jerry.
I don't know
what
if I could even.
To you?
I'll tell you, you want to know what happened to me? Your long,
yeah,
drawn out, irrelevant monologue. You're losing it, man. You need a new writer.
No, this guy.
Because you're going to blow it for you today, dude.
This
I would not
guy,
pay
no,
for that.
No. This guy says that everybody in business should be, you know, generous and be referring people to everybody, even if it's, you know, hey, somebody else can do the job better than me. And
oh,
that's what he
said
is going to make you money.
Pay it forward? Are you against it?
I don't like that term, pay it forward.
Neither do I. It's stupid.
Like being, yeah, okay, well, being a love cat, is that stupid too? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know what else he says, Jerry, just before we go, just before we bring on the guest? Tim Sanders says it's almost impossible for a crummy person to keep her sad reality a secret anymore. There's too many people with access to email, instant messaging, and the web. But we know that's not true because you were cheated by a split partner 5 years ago. And she
I was wrong.
For that one bit.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Okay, so Tim's wrong. And you know what? Maybe it was a lousy intro. I don't know. Let's bring on the guest and see what he says. Davey Bernstein, are you here?
I'm here, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, Dave. We're going to see.
I'd save your thanks for a bit later in the show, though. You need to see how it goes here.
Yeah. All right.
No,
well, go gently in the beginning and then lead me into it.
Right? Strategy. She said before the show, this better be good or it better not suck. I haven't been here for a long time.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, let's jazz it up.
So you better not suck, Dave. Now, you know what? Let me just tell you. I've never talked to Dave before. He had his girl, a very nice girl, get in touch with me and set him up here. Okay? And you have a confession. You're not a recruiter! And the people on this show hate guys who come on who aren't recruiters. So you have a lot to prove.
Start back in time, man. I started as a recruiter. Actually, my first role in HR, I was recruiting in a HR department at a company called PeopleSoft, and we were fast moving and trying to figure it all out back in 95. So, no, I cut my teeth in all the HR world right out of the recruiting department. So, I do think I have a couple of ideas that come right from the trenches. So,
all right. Okay.
Yeah, so let's see. I mean, I haven't done it for a bit, but, you know, I've managed the function, I've been in the function, and I've helped drive the function through the technology. So I've got it on a couple of angles, been on the product side, been on the internal side. So anyway, throw it at me. Let's see what we go. But, yeah, I'm always up for the conversation.
Okay. Are you a love cat, Dave?
Well, I definitely believe in karma points, so let's say that. But, yeah, pay it forward, do the right thing. But I definitely, you know, people are definitely motivated by what's going to be good for them. And I actually think that ties what we're going to talk about today, because being good at what you're doing and helping the business that you work in, that's, I mean, if you're going to go to work, to me, that's why what we want to do, right? And,
yeah,
you know,
that's
do
not
a good
being
job.
A love cat. A love cat is saying hire the other guy because he's better than me, okay?
Well. Okay.
Isn't that being a love cat? What do
no,
you think
that's
about
throwing
this
yourself
idea,
under
Dave?
The bus, right? No. Yeah.
Well, hire me. There's better people, but I'm not going to tell you about them. That's your philosophy, I guess. Okay. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you think about this. Tell me what you think about this quote. It's a quote. I didn't make it up, but I like it very much. A pure heart is worth more than an army of killer robots.
Pure heart. Wow. What a romantic, huh?
But no, a pure heart is nice, but when it comes to recruiting, you are all for killer robots. That's what you do, isn't it? You're
oh,
a robot
I see.
Guy. You
That's what this is all
robots.
About.
Go out there and analyze the data. Bring it back
I
to
see.
Me.
Man, I was wondering how you were going to tie that in, Animal.
Yeah,
I was ready to slam you, and then I'm like, wow, pure genius.
From left field in here. No. Come on, this is not about Minority Report and decisions being made by machines. This is about making decisions with some guidance. It's a whole different world. Data is a tool, guys, right? Would you say that we should no longer sell screwdrivers because you could put someone's eye out or stab them in the heart? Data is a tool. How you use it is what we're talking about
hold
here
on.
Today.
Kathy, we haven't introduced you yet. Haven't said where you're from, but I want to tell you, Kathy Manis thinks you're recording all of our conversations and then analyzing it to find out bad things about us. Really?
There you go. And again, it's
and
a tool.
Here.
Who uses the tool? Put it in the hands of the right person. It can do wonderful things. So,
I told
you know,
her, that's
again,
the president, not you. That's President
you admit
Obama
that you're recording this? Do you admit that you're recording this? I mean, I swear to God, I am so worked up over this topic. I hang
up. Wow. No. I mean, I think my animal's recording this, but no, I'm not recording this. So speak away.
Kathy, give us some background on your issue here.
Well, I worked on a project for 3 days where I was supposed to be collecting big data, and I was so I was so upset by what I was being required to find out about supposed passive candidates. It made me ill.
Okay, and does this have anything to do with this guy's company?
No.
Okay, let's come to him, and then we'll come back to you, Kathy. But you got your foot in the door there, okay?
Yeah.
This guy's name is Dave Bernstein. Is it Dave Bernstein or Dave Bernstein?
Steen.
Steen. Okay. Dave Bernstein.
What's the difference?
Like the salad dressing.
I don't mean that as any kind of a slam. I mean, okay.
You better watch out. This is a diverse show.
Are they
Gary?
From different? Okay.
Yeah. From different tribes. Okay. Now, he's with a company called eQuest.com.
eQuest.com.
Yeah. And they're a job ad distribution company. Is that basically, is that right? The primary
That's our core
function?
Business, yes. Yeah, no, certainly.
Okay.
And that's what generates a lot of our data. And in fact, not a lot, all of our data.
That's the whole thing. You know where the people are going from all this, you know, putting stuff out on the job boards. You know, I assume you're getting the information from the job boards about all the people who are coming to click on the ads. We'll get to that. So anyway,
Billions of data points, Animal.
He's
I believe
not
every
in
day.
The, in the job board business, you're the VP of HR prediction or something like that. What's your title?
Our big data analytics division, yes.
Now, that's like a consulting arm that goes out to companies and say, we're going to analyze your data for you. Is that right?
That's part of so we'll bring in your data and marry that up with the activity that you're doing through our system, as well as talk to the customers with their about market data, about what's happening around them while they're doing the same kind of activity.
Okay,
bringing
but you
it all
bring
together.
In your own data. You work
no,
with their data.
We do. We bring in all of that data. So it's our data plus.
Oh.
No,
okay.
It's not from the job boards. It's when we post the advertising for the customers. We're also embedding some tracking capabilities, so we're understanding what's going on, but the job boards themselves are not giving us the data.
No?
So what what we have is when our customers are posting their jobs, we know what they're posting for, where they're posting it, and how it's being responded to. So it's candidate response behaviors and employer demand data.
Okay, but this is what you do. You go mm-hmm. and look at what happened in the past, and you say, this is what worked, this didn't, let's do the good stuff again, right? That's essentially it in a nutshell.
Well,
Am I right?
But with a small nuance, which is, you know, the past is how past. I mean, the thing about big data is you're watching things unfold right now. I mean, this is not traditional HR snapshot, look at it 6 months later and say, what should we do next time? This is, hey, this is what's happening, and how is it trending, and how do I use those trends right now to give me some insight on how to begin things, how's my effectiveness going right now, how am I doing compared to others? The real-time factor can't be underestimated in all this.
I don't even understand what you mean by the real-time factor. And I read the articles that you wrote on TNLT and the articles that you linked to. You said that one of them said that this is the source. It's an electronic store in Canada, and they can tell in real time what's selling on their shelves and then adjust to that. What does that even mean? I don't get it.
So data's flowing in, and that's part of so imagine it's the difference between looking through your scrapbook or your photo albums, or you're looking at a streaming movie that's happening in real time, or the news feed that's happening live, and you're seeing that. It's data that's happening and being collected, and the ability to kind of incorporate all that insight as it's unfolding, not saying, okay, finish the cycle, let's go back and look at it afterwards. So in the Canadian example, that store was looking at their cash register data and being able to kind of analyze what was going on in the back office, but all that cash register data was being fed to an analyst who was then able to make some decisions, see those insights, and then be able to reflect that back and
then
be able to make some...
What's the time frame then?
Hey, Animal?
What?
I just got to know. I mean, this
what?
Is... I just got to know. Did you ask him to explain real-time data as almost like a softball for him, or did you really not know what real-time data is? Because if you don't know what real-time data is, I'm hanging up.
You know, you're a dummy, Jerry. Let me tell
you're
you.
A dummy.
Smart,
that's a
smarty.
What's real-time data?
I know. Jeez. I know real time means current, but what does it mean in a business context that the company says, hey, we sold a stereo, that cost $500.
Oh,
let
Jesus.
Me apologize to your guest. Oh,
come on. Answer the question,
on,
Jerry.
Dave,
so, guys,
Dave,
yeah, I mean,
Dave,
we're
Dave,
collecting
no, no,
so
Dave,
much data on a regular basis.
I'm in charge. I'm in charge. Let me clarify that.
Yeah, the
so,
guy that doesn't know what real-time data is in charge.
No,
just set the stage for the rest of this conversation.
Let me say that LiveTrack sells a $500 stereo. Does the guy in marketing say, hey, we just sold a $500 stereo. I'm going to cancel all the orders for $250 stereos right now and order 10 of these $500 stereos. I don't exactly know how.
No,
well.
It's
Did
about
I
camping
correctly?
Onto the trend. The data. So, for example, in our world, we're collecting roughly a million data points per day. What we're able to see then is be able to give that insight back into real-time trends, make some decisions right now. It isn't necessarily about canceling orders. It's about reflecting on what you're about to do or what you are doing, and is it working for you? Can you make adjustments? Can you see as you make those adjustments, are they having the desired effect? It's about being able to do these things as they're happening. It's such a powerful world of decision-making. It's something, and again, I know that there's huge energy around this. HR folks are not always most comfortable with data. There's a lot of maybe misconceptions about how it might be used.
HR makes decisions based on quarterly reports. Those are batch reporting. Real-time information is not something that HR is most comfortable with. Because it means they really should take action rather than review, have a committee, put a plan together for their next quarterly.
And they can't quantify it and put 1,000%. We've already looked and said, you can do something with it. It's real-time flowing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to talk about
how does this translate into candidates?
Dave, no, hold on a second. I want him to, start telling us stories of real-life examples, okay? I told Heath, your PR lady, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
We talk big Latin to each other. I told her to tell you to bring lots of examples, okay? And I told her that my guests resist every time when I make that request, and that ruins the show. So you've got examples, I hope, and I want you to tell some right now.
Okay. Well, so you did the job. You posted our video for us. There's a great example where we are able to see days of the week that matter most. And in a world where, again, if we know the name of the game is about trying to find the most people, qualified people to be able to speak to and get them into the process, right? And we do this through written and verbal form. And there's an art to both of those aspects, writing this and verbalizing this, right? But when you are going through the written format and you want to be able to put that opening out there, it's critical. You got to know what's the day of the week that's going to get the greatest likelihood of eyeballs.
Great point.
This is what happened. I mean, Nielsen does this all the time. Why? No one argues with Nielsen, right? You've got soap to sell. You've got some soap you're trying to sell, and you want to know where is the best place that I should be able to kind of get my message out in front of the right people. And, in fact, what are the days of the week where those eyeballs are likely to be there? How could you go wrong with wanting to have a crack at knowing that and that trending data so you can have the greatest likelihood? Again, predictive in our case isn't about, again, making decisions and ruling candidates in or out. It's about increasing your likelihood of being able to get to the outcome you need to achieve.
Here's a tip for the guest. Try to shorten up your answer just a smidge.
This isn't a corporate meeting where you can drag out the same thing again and again. We understand here. But before I forget, Tom Bolt, regular listener, smart guy, he wants to know if somebody writes a lousy job ad, are you going to notice that? So there's some way the data is going to reveal that.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And that's one of the, again, talk about examples. So we can see. I just saw this the other day in our data.
Go ahead. I'll interrupt you after.
So there's the example where, a front of house ambassador. I saw that title the other day. Now, cute title, works great on a business card. Now, what is that? Is that
Walmart?
Somewhere, turns out it's a receptionist at a large company that was doling out the badges. Now, again, you can work for yourself or work against yourself. So we can see patterns in the data that lead to greater response rates from candidates than not. And again, that candidate response behavior is not just for which boards, but what the kinds of job positions and the way those are written, the way they're titled. We have access to all of those patterns.
Let me
side
know.
Note, recruiter Betty thinks you're hot.
Thanks. Me or him?
Go ahead.
No, Dave. Yeah. You know what? I fixed up your picture a little. You do
I love how you put my big forehead there. Yeah, thank you for putting my Twitter handle across that. It's a big billboard for us all. Yeah.
Okay. Look, Dave.
Yeah.
Look. First of all, when I say tell a story, it doesn't mean make a general statement. It means tell a specific story about real companies doing specific things. Okay? So, you know, I don't mind that you started off with the general statements, but I know this is a new field, but there must be some stories, so I'd like you to tell that. Secondly, in answer to Tom Bolt's question, you just said, well, we can see which titles get the best response. What about the content? I'm thinking that's very difficult to do. There's no way that you can figure out what's a good ad and what's a bad ad, aside from the title, right?
As well as the body of the copy. I mean, so many times we can see that what a hiring manager wrote, and I know we all have opinions about the skills of these hiring managers, but where we in the recruiting world come into play is we often make the mistake of taking what they wrote and just pushing it out to ad copy with no intervention in between. Right, and that's, you know, what was intended to be for purposes of getting permission to hire suddenly becomes the marketing copy, and that's not good recruiting. So we can actually see those response patterns of what, you know, when jobs are written and the descriptions, not just the titles, right? That's just part of this. I mean, we're seeing days of the week that get the greatest response and able to make the recommendations so that it's higher in the list. You get the greatest candidate flow from seeing that. We're seeing that we can help our customers. I have one customer who had so many boards that they didn't know which ones were working for them. A kind of overtime collection of 48 plus boards. They did the typical post and pray, post and spray, quote unquote strategy. Not a real strategy, right? Just a de facto activity. And as a result, they were spending gobs of money and not knowing what they were really getting for it. We came in with them and analyzed their spend and what their jobs were. We looked at financial analyst positions in a specific example and helped them titrate that down to a very narrow set of boards, freed up a ton of money for them, and gave them the ability to market positions that weren't getting any spend. You know, again, using data to be able to inform your process, and then you apply the art of recruiting. But there's no reason why the two can't go hand in hand, the art and the science. There's quantifiable information.
What is titrate? I didn't take chemistry. I took it in grade 12, okay?
ratcheted down. We were able to squeeze down from 48 to a very narrow set of boards that actually produced the results that got them the hires that they needed, that at least contributed to the talent pipeline that they needed to be able to do their hiring process.
Okay. You know what Jerry told you a few minutes ago? I don't usually say listen to Jerry, but listen to what he said.
Now, say it short. Yeah.
Now tell
us. Dude, you don't have to say listen to Jerry. Everybody does.
Yeah. Jerry,
you're my new guru.
Real life story.
Hey, are you going to – hold on a minute. Are you going to tell us the secret day of the week to post, or is that like – I mean, because some people like to know the greatest day to post so they can hang up.
No, I could tell you on this show. No, but we have those again, it's variable. So you look at which job you're trying to hire and which labor market and which board.
Mm-hmm.
Those variables all matter, and it could vary over time as well. So, you know, we also can see what times of the day candidates are typically responding for what kind of jobs.
I mean, in general, is it like Saturday afternoon or is it like Monday mornings?
Well, we had a post on this that ended up on ERE, so you could see that there were certain jobs that – we specifically reference. But again, it wouldn't be fair to say all jobs. You need to really kind of narrow cast this down. And that's
give
what
us
I just referred to ERE for my answer.
Be a love cat.
Jerry
asked,
no, he doesn't.
A legitimate question. Come on.
He doesn't want to answer it because he wants to charge you for it.
He's not a love cat. Just give
I'm
us
just
one
a 9-month-old baby.
One example. One example. Here, I'll give
guys,
you an example.
Guys, so here's one example, right? So we can see, for example, Twitter jobs are having a greater response rates on Sundays. Well, we just see that in the data.
Huh.
So, again, there are patterns here is the point, and I'm not sure where you want to push me and pump me for information, but yes, there isn't a one size fits all is really the point. And that's why data helps inform what you're about to do. I mean, how could you ignore that there's information about what you're trying to recruit for that not only tells you how to forecast your activity, but also gives you insight on how you're doing and how it compares to others. That's one of the other very valuable things I'm offering a customer is the ability to, when you're recruiting for that Java engineer in Boston, and if you got 10 people in 20 days out in that pipeline from that board, you could think you're great. But what if your others who are recruiting just like that ended up with 50 candidates in half as much time? You know, that insight starts to give you some understanding of what's going on in your job descriptions and your brand.
So then are you saying then that you will compare one user to another user and help?
In aggregate, in general statements, yes. So talent competition. I'm not going to put Microsoft up against Google and let them pit them against each other. But talent competitors, yes.
Well, so if I thought that I wanted to place this specific ad on a Tuesday afternoon, mm-hmm. and it was determined by your system that, wow, that is the best time ever to place that ad for those people, are you saying that you would share that data with my competitor?
The trend to give you that insight, that trend comes from the aggregate of the data. So again, that's what's creating this information. Big data is about aggregating all of this information and finding those patterns.
So if you want the value of big data, you have to share your tiny data.
Well, I have a question. So I missed something, I think. Did you say Microsoft and Google are not talent competitors?
What I'm saying is if you want to be able to know exactly what Microsoft is doing and Google is doing, that's not what I sell or what we make available in the insights. What we're talking about is all the employers looking for Java engineers in Boston at the same time you were, how did you do compared to them? That's the benchmarking capability.
Now, are you comparing, then, email replies, referral traffic, clicks, page views, time spent on site? We want specifics!
Yeah, hold on, Dave. I just got to tell you, maybe I should tell all guests in the future. I usually don't want to distract them. But you should be searching Animal, @Animal, on Twitter, because you'll see what we're seeing. I mean, they say, get this guy to answer the question in a straightforward manner. He's dodging, and they're putting it in caps, and they're saying I'm losing control. They are going to slaughter me after this show.
All right.
Don't do this to me, okay? You said you want to come on the show. You got to bend a little. Just give us something to nibble on. Now, Phil Tomlinson, just like Jerry said, he said he wants to know, where does he get the data? Do you track email replies, referral traffic, magical BS numbers? What I don't know what that means, okay? So where do you get the data? What are you looking at exactly that provides it?
It's
the responses, the ad responses?
So that comes in two categories. Our job posting gets us the ability to understand what's being viewed and when it's being clicked on. And then we work with our customers to pull in their data on how it's being responded to. So we know from the point of distribution, if it's a dormant job, if it gets visited and responded to, and then we also understand with our customer participation, we know completed applications, so we know drop-off rates. And then we work with them. They provide the other data, which is in their hiring cycle. We can then help them break down in their funnel from interviews to offers to hires. But we understand the process from...
I didn't mean to insult you. I could tell your voice changed. But these guys are killing me, okay, on Twitter. You got to work with
Animal.
Me. Don't,
not a problem.
Don't think
not
I'm
a problem.
Being mean.
I'm all good for it.
Animal.
So
I have a question.
But the data flows from the point of the employer making the demand for a kind of talent, and we know it from that point all the way back to the completed application. And that cycle of data, whether it's viewed or not, and then if it is viewed and responded to, all the way out to the completed application. And that's where we're at.
What kind of money are people
But is
paying?
This a post – is this a post – so you're saying that you can track – Animal, I'm hanging up. This is just boring. He won't answer a question.
Dude, you need to finish your question.
Yeah, finish
okay,
your question.
Are you saying
before you say that, okay?
are you saying that you can, you're tracking the data from a post, so what, I have to post through eQuest, and then you push it out, and then you track it? Because I know that, for example, GE, if you put out one Java programmer, they may write it with five different extensions, so they know if it got clicked on from Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever. And then I will tell you, the Career Builder and Monster, they'll give you the reports of if you post and where it gets sent out to, but they'll even admit that their data accuracy is at best 45% to 50%. So how can you claim you know all you? I mean, and who's going to go to eQuest to look for a posting?
Well, no, our tracking. So our customers post, and our tracking technology, we have tracking pixels, and that's what we insert. And we actually know exactly where a job is being viewed, when it's viewed. We know the IP addresses of what, you know, times of day, what kind of geographies of these candidates as they're viewing and responding to these jobs.
Let me ask it this way. Uh-huh. No, that's good. That's really good. So are you saying that basically if I have a Monster, a Career Builder, and a LinkedIn, I sign up with eQuest, and somehow when I do a posting on LinkedIn, Monster, Career Builder, Dice, whatever, then somehow your product cuts into that during the job posting process and puts some kind of tag on the whatever so that now you can track it?
Correct. That's the technology on the bid.
Okay, I have a question.
I want to know if you offer your clients services where you gather big data on candidates, either active or passive.
I know.
What?
So, sorry, guys. We have tens of thousands of customers that are doing this on a daily basis. That's the million-plus data points that we're collecting a day
are coming from this tracking capability. Okay, so you do provide big data on individuals. Is that correct?
On individuals, no. What we're seeing, again, is an aggregate on trends. And so,
Forget what's going on out there, because I worked for a company that was gathering big data.
And again, I don't want to be mean. It's, again, data is a tool, and I really feel strongly about that. You can use anything for a good or a negative purpose. In our world, we're trying to aggregate this information for insight. I'd rather keep the conversation, if we could, about the value this brings. I understand that there are opportunities. The data could be used in ways.
I'm sorry, but big data is a big debate right now in this country.
Clearly.
And I think it is. I mean, I think what's going on the individual candidate basis, which I think you're trying to sideflip and not talk about, is that big data is being gathered on candidates from their early childhood on through adulthood.
Well, if that's happening, it's not happening
anywhere. He's not doing that.
Yeah.
He's not, Dave, let me stand up for you. He's not spying on anybody. He's just spying on their ad responses. It seems to be a very narrow.
They're storing it in that same place where they've got those UFOs out there in New Mexico, too.
There you go, in Roswell.
Roswell.
Their headquarters are in Roswell.
Hey, don't think that this doesn't all tie in together.
eQuest.com at Roswell, New Mexico. Yeah.
Does anybody else have a question? Thank you, Kathy. Thank you.
I got one. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Who is it?
It's Durbin. Durbin's got a question.
Okay. Go ahead.
Durbin.
One of my I'm working with a kid right now. I've been talking to him for a bit. He's actually working for a big data company. And he's fresh out of school, and he's absolutely crushed because 90 to 95% of the revenue that they're bringing in is cleaning up Excel sheets. So while we hear the promise of big data, the truth is, without clean data, there's not much done. Is this happening right now, or is most of the money still coming from, hey, I'm cleaning up bad databases that are out there, trying to establish what information we have?
I would tell you that any data initiative has that challenge. The clean data is always the critical start point. So in our world, though, we have control over what's being posted, and we format that, we insert that, we know where it's being deposited, we know our technology tracks the exact response rate.
Hey, Durbin, you need to hit the mute button there, brother.
I've got mute on.
Who's doing that?
I thought it was his phone, too.
Sorry for falsely accusing you. That was profiling, and I'm sorry. I was wrong.
Yeah. Okay, Dave. So, Dave, now I got a feeling you're upset with my audience and me.
Not at all.
I'll let you take hold. What do you want to talk about right now?
No, the debate is fine. It's just I think that we shouldn't be focused. There's a lot of feedback on the line.
I'm trying to get rid of that.
Animal, you got to clean that up, dude. We're losing it. We're coming off the rails.
I think it's gone.
There
like that train in Spain a couple weeks ago. Did you see that?
Yeah, again, I don't, you know, the debate is a good debate to have. People need to kind of wrap their minds around this. Tools are tools. How they're used is what's important. I'd like to see if we could keep the conversation about ways that this, you know, if people have questions about what this can do in a talent acquisition recruiting world, that's a great place to keep this conversation, I think.
This is Todd Porter. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure. Hi, Todd.
One, I'm curious what his size of customer is. Is he dealing with smaller, mid-size, or only like the really big companies? And then two, what's the value proposition or the sell to those guys? I mean, what are you offering them with all of this analysis stuff? Are they really getting anything, or is it like the old CRM where companies would buy it and later go, we didn't get anything?
Well, so we do have, customers up and down the demographic chain, so small to Fortune 500. We have the value is in understanding how you're going to get your hands on candidates as quickly as it can for the best cost. And how's that doing for you? If you're a smaller company, the value of this big data is even more important. Your brand is smaller. You need to be able to have the greatest likelihood of being able to be effective. It's key. This is not big company only stuff.
So a company that matrixes their costs and says it costs me $3,000 a head to get somebody, you're going to drive that down, and they're going to be able to see that.
We're going to help them understand if they're putting their advertising in the right place. And I'm not sure, companies go to a company like Nielsen and say, advise me. Help me predict where I best put my message to be able to sell the kind of soap I want to sell. In employer world, you're selling something, and we're marketing. We're sales guys. We're recruiting. We need to be able to do the value proposition, but we need to put that message in the right space. Where's the right place to be able to do that messaging?
Animal, I have a question.
But don't insult my guest again, though, okay?
I won't. Let me. No.
Wait a second. I love big data. Todd's calling all the way from Israel. Did he get his question answered?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if I'm a customer, I'm not sure I know what I'm buying. It's a little soft. I mean, if I'm going to spend money as a customer, I want to know that my costs are coming down or something.
Well, we tailor that with a faster response, right? Better,
you're
fast response.
Better ads. They're going to weed out the bad ads, right?
That, again, we can work with you. We tailor the customer can come to us with a couple of needs. So, again, there's the ability to see these patterns and leverage them for their value. You know, if you're slow on getting candidates, if you're spending too much money, your copy isn't working for you, these are the things that we can share.
Do you know Alistair Murray?
What? Alistair Murray?
Alistair McMurphy.
Yeah, we know who he is. Yeah,
I was wondering if your guest knew him. He's he's most likely the best job ad copyright guy on the planet.
Okay, don't worry about that.
I was just asking. God!
Next question, Alan.
I'm trying to spice this thing up, dude. I mean, you got a dead crowd here at 12:38. I've got no momentum for my show.
We're going to take a customer and look exactly at what their jobs are, what they're posting, where they're posting them. We're going to give them the insight on what are the places where that's going to work best.
Look, we're
real simple.
We like stories.
Dave,
I'm sorry you have
to keep explaining this. Your product sounds fairly self-explanatory.
Yeah,
so
we like
I don't
stories,
know why
though.
People don't understand it. But then again, we started off wondering what is real-time information. So
we like stories. We like stories.
So,
now, you say you're the largest. Hold on. You say that you're the biggest. Who's the second biggest in your space?
You know, this is where we're not seeing that there's a lot of emphasis on this. And the challenge is to get the HR community talent acquisition. You got to be able to use numbers. Look at your data and what is working for you. You spend a lot of money on these boards. Don't you want to know if it's working?
Yeah.
Right?
No, but I was going back to your claim that you're the largest big data HR job posting company. I'm just wondering who is the second biggest.
Well, I'll tell you what's behind that, okay, Dave? We have a
friend. Who is it? Hey! Knock it off.
The hit girl. We have a friend of the show. She used to work for Broadbean, and they said they were the number one. That's what he's getting at. You know, he wants you to clarify that, but I don't personally care. I want to know some stories, but also here's a story. It sounds like when you go to sell to an HR person that you're getting a lot of resistance, that they're pretty dumb, just like hiring managers. Is that true?
Well, they're not as aware of how this applies, and I think that's the same thing we're finding here in this conversation. You've got 48 boards you used. Do you know which ones are producing the results? Do you want to just continue to post that message everywhere, or would you like to be able to titrate that down? Simple. Ratchet it down. Make it very specific. We're going to look at that with you. We're going to help you see what your response rates are every quarter. We'll be able to kind of then also measure that against everybody who's competing for that same talent, kind of talent as you, give you the picture of how that's responding.
It seems good to me, like a natural sell, but do you use any examples to sell them and say, look what so-and-so did? They're saving, you know, $100,000 a year in ads. I mean, do you use any, you know, social proof, or is it just theory at that point?
Okay,
what?
Yeah, I think he's doing business.
I know, I'm sorry.
I did some business a little bit ago myself.
I can't believe it. We find that I can't tell you what Broadbean's exact plans are, but what we've been working
Broadbean.
At this for 2 years.
I don't care about Broadbean, okay? I mean, that's Jerry's way to get. He didn't like
Hold
your
on. He made a claim on his site that he's the biggest. I just wanted to say, who's the second? I just asked.
Yeah, well, you know.
And he never even answered.
We are, I don't think anybody else is out there who does what we do is also then giving the insights on this marketing effectiveness. And at the end of the day, this is what marketers do. And we in recruiting, if we don't want to take, I mean, there's all this conversation about employer of choice and candidate experience. I mean, these are right out of the marketing playbook. We're talking about our customer's experience and value proposition and positioning. Well, then we have a responsibility when we do our marketing, when we're advertising, that's also from the marketing world, then let's be smart about that. Let's use data to kind of forecast. Let's use data to measure it, how it's working. Let's use data to compare against others. It's really that straightforward.
You wrote an article on TNLT all about how if HR wants to be strategic, they have to talk in terms of numbers. I remember reading articles years ago. You have to talk like a businessman or business person with talking about bottom line, talking about numbers, if you want a seat at the table. It sounds like you can't get through to these guys no matter what you do. Am I right about that? These are people who were not good in arithmetic in high school, in public school, and you're never going to get through. They're all, you know, fuzzy-wuzzy, I want to hug you types. Is that true?
Well, ourselves included, right? On the recruiting world, this is also very applicable. Are we willing to kind of take data into our consideration?
Well, I'm putting them together as a parcel because what you're telling me makes sense. They want to know what their numbers are. Some people on Twitter are saying the kind of examples you're giving us, like that, you know, you get the best response in a Sunday. They said that's something they knew 20 years ago. But
when the Sunday papers came out.
See, but the thing about the big data guys as well is that it's not about trying to shove a big set of dashboards in front of people's eyeballs and asking them to be smart about data. I mean, we're going to give you these recommendations on days of the week to post right at your fingertip when you need to run that transaction. When you're trying to post your job, it tells you. It's not go figure it out. It's right here and now. Those insights. This is not about trying to go run some stats and build your internal teams. And the big data companies like Equest can provide you that in unique ways. It's not about trying to help HR overcome their phobia or aversion or bench resource issues with getting to the analytics. The insights come real time right to them.
Does the phrase "get her done" appear in any of your marketing material?
Get her done.
Yeah.
Animal.
Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
Animal, I have a question.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So let me ask this example. So on your website, you partner with, you work with Taleo, it looks like, or at least you can cut into Taleo. So as an example, I post a Java job on Taleo. We're working with you guys. It gets pushed out with your coding to Monster Dice, LinkedIn, Career Builder, and whatever else. We get the applicants that come back. Through your analysis software or what have you, we find out that we get 100 applicants. And for some strange reason, when you do the analysis on this, you find out that 45 of these people also belong to the, I don't know, NFL club. So now, from an aggregate perspective, while you won't identify the individuals unless we read the resume and it's on there, you can basically say, hey, you got 45 of your candidates from NFL.com club members. You might want to think about putting a direct ad on that site. Is that one example?
No. I mean, it's really much more rudimentary at that point. Right now, it's your marketing, your jobs on these boards. We're going to help you know what you, where you're advertising for which jobs. It's not, you can't put all your eggs in one basket. We already know that in life. So why would we think that one place to advertise is the right way to do that? Right? Certain jobs on certain markets, certain job boards for that. So when you get your data back, we're going to analyze that for you and say, are you getting the anticipated response? We'll give you exact stories. That's what we do with our customers every day. They come and say, hey, I need to advertise for a software engineer in Boston. Help me know where I should put my money for that. Well, greatest likelihood of getting those kind of responses. Then when they go through the exercise and they actually are doing that recruiting, hey, did I get what you forecast? Am I getting – what might be the cause if I'm not? Let's review that as it's unfolding. How are others who are recruiting for software engineers at the same time? These are the stories that we talk with our customers all day long.
So you'll be able to show me the data in aggregate and say, here's what we posted, here's the results we got. Oh, and by the way, while we won't say Google, Microsoft, or whoever, here's everybody else with a very similar job post, here's the results they got in aggregate. How you might be able to do better.
We stack you up against them and say, are you under or overperforming? And we give you that picture.
That's great information to know. I mean, if you're a big company.
I'm surprised we're still talking about what this company does.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, here's what resume strategy says.
Sorry, Dave.
If Animal acknowledged that this is just benchmarking, it wouldn't take up a whole hour.
Benchmarking?
They're benchmarking against other companies. You know, they're telling you who's got the best bang for their buck, and you should be doing it that way too. Am I right about that, Dave?
Yeah, it's recent trends, and why would you not want to use that for your competitive advantage?
Yeah, really. I mean, I think he's telling a good story. He won't tell specific stories. That's my only complaint. Otherwise, what kind of money are we talking about? Is it at the exorbitant stage? I mean, I don't know how much you want to talk about that, fees.
Well, we should, on the sales side, what I would say is our eQuest philosophy is to be cost effective, and really, there is value here, but it is a cost effective. I've been in HR, I've had budgets, I know what budgets are up against. This fits very nicely in. If you're going to spend, hundreds to thousands of dollars per year, tens of thousands of dollars on advertising, a small amount of money to kind of make sure that's productive from the outset. Increase your likelihood. That's what we're talking about.
Maybe we should talk about Golden State Warriors. You wrote an ad and you referred to you wrote an article on ERE and you talked about them. Am I right about that, yes or no?
Correct, yes.
Okay. They're a basketball team, and somehow by looking at the stats, they figured out, what was it, that 50% of the goals were scored when a certain guy was in a certain position? Can you tell that story?
Sure, David Lee. He's a star center for them, and yet there's weaknesses that he has. And with the data, they put cameras everywhere in the ceilings and looked at all the stats of on the road and at home and against lefties and righties and within the paint and not. And at the bottom of it was here's where he needs some assistance, and they lasered in. And really, that's what we're doing. The same thing is if that micro targeting, laser in, know exactly and kind of focus. Data is giving you that kind of insight on the best places and the opportunity.
I mean, like, people can understand more if you tell the concrete details.
He was weak on now I'm forgetting if it was lefties or righties, but within a certain scenario, he was weak and shots on goal. They were outscoring him up a large percentage of the time. So
did the goalie have anything to do with it?
The goalie in basketball?
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
You're talking about
he had a blind spot.
That shows how you lost me. Come on, Animal. You're
he had a blind spot.
Crowd
he didn't know
here.
Where he didn't know where he wasn't performing well. He kind of had a general sense. This is, you know, again, the picture was, here's where my weakness is. Here's where it's I'm not doing as well.
Okay, Dave, you said in one of your articles, first of all, you told the Johnson & Johnson story. I'd like you to tell that before we go. And also, you said the pools of the best talent are shrinking. Why do you say that?
The pools of the best talent
I took that from one of your articles. The best talent pools are shrinking. That's what you said. Now, maybe you don't remember. It was just an off, you know, the cuff statement, but... Yeah. Oh, I know where they said it, on the Recruiting Trends Conference website. I assume you wrote that. Maybe they wrote it. They
no,
said everybody
yeah.
knows that the best talent pools are shrinking. Is that true or false?
You know, again, you're right. They wrote that marketing copy. What we see is that there are candidates out there. You just need to be able to find the right way to advertise for them. You know, if you're not explaining why it's good for them to come to your company, and they have choices in the world, and you have, you know, and also if you're not in the right places, and if you're advertising where, you know, you're going to just get noise and not qualified candidates, I mean, that comes together. That's when you put your marketing copy well, put it together well, put it in the right places, and then increase, you know, again, advertising for jobs, for candidates is just one of the sourcing strategies, right? So this is not, but when you, because you need to be effective in doing that, and effective means fast, cost effective, right? You got to spend the right amount of money, but also with the right amount of time. You don't want to wait forever. You're hiring for
a
reason.
So you can change the next day, in other words. Real time here means the next day's ads or this week's ads. Is that
we
is
give?
That
yeah, well,
about?
We do it on a regular frequency with our customers. We typically do it on a quarterly basis because cycles take time to unfold. But we can work with them during the cycle and have them, they can say, how's this going? We can log in and see the stream. And that's the power of this.
Okay, one of your articles, you talked about Johnson & Johnson, so I assume you're not going to be shy about talking about them here. Am I right about that?
Well, many of my articles include examples of what's happening in the universe in the HR department. So
you said Johnson & Johnson, or Johnson Controls, rather, was spending more time on recruiting admin than candidate engagement because they were relying on hindsight and trial and error, right? Maybe you forgot that article. Okay.
I did my research. Yeah, and in those examples, so again, it's not if you are posting and waiting, that's the post and pray model, right? Or you're working through, you know, you're creating a lot of noise. You got a candidate pipeline. I have one customer that ended up with, I'm going to over 100,000 candidates from a Twitter stream that they then had to figure out 100 in there that they wanted to interview, right? That's a lot of extra work. That's not where we need to be pointing our valued resources. We need to be focusing our recruiters at engagement, working with hiring managers and the candidates, right? We need everybody in the process, all hands on deck, not administering and shepherding the process. If we
so how did they solve that
down.
Problem? You've got me excited now. The hook's in my cheek. How did they solve that problem?
Well, again, they were smarter about where they looked at what boards were producing the best results, and they focused that down versus trying to spray it everywhere or using boards that weren't going to produce. That's the other insight, which were they were on boards that weren't going to be the right places that had a slower response rate or candidate flow for them. So we dialed it down for them and got it really narrow, and we saw for them an increase in candidate flow in a shorter amount of duration and a smarter
spend. Does Twitter
spend.
Work for some people? Does Twitter work for some people, for some searches? Does Twitter ever work?
I'm not going to bash the social media. It's too early
we
to tell.
I will.
Time.
It's
That's
not too early to tell. It's all a bunch of BS.
All right. Well, I'll let you guys say it. But, yeah, I mean, it's certainly a channel for communication. I think one of the valuable parts about social media is that it really may support your other activities relative to your employer branding and your other advertising, your employer referral programs. I mean, so social media has a place. It just may not be the direct sourcing place. but it has a place in every talent acquisition program.
Now, that's profound what you said. And talent communities, any comments on that? You know, people think you could get a bunch of people interested in your company who are, you know, just going to wait for your postings and things like that. Are they proving to be valuable sources of candidates, talent communities?
Not. You know, content. Those of us that are doing, you know, marketing and content-based marketing know it's a lot of work. You can't just throw a group of people into a circle and say they're your talent community, and once in a while send them a birthday notice, and then a, you know, and a job opening when you have something for them, right? You have to nurture your communities if they're going to have any hope of working. Then HR has to dedicate the resources. It's not a set and forget.
That doesn't sound like it's a worthwhile investment. There's a lot
of
time.
Well,
there,
again, it's a lot of work, right? So right now we use job boards, we know, because just-in-time hiring does happen frequently. We need to be as smart and as effective as we can. No one's hiring going to post a job and say, I can wait 6 months to fill it, right? That's not why we use job boards, right?
Uh-huh.
We need to be smart and right from the get-go.
Now, people,
so really, the guest here has confirmed two things in the last 120 seconds.
What's that?
job posting on Twitter is BS. Secondly, talent communities, really no such thing.
Yeah.
There you
okay,
go, Rayanne.
A couple of good questions. Hold on. Rayanne, I have to congratulate. She is a VP at a new company, I think a Canadian company. She's our hit girl. Congratulations, Rayanne. I'm just waiting until I can cash in on your success. But here's another thing just before we go, Dave. Some people say job boards are not the place to get the best candidates. You know, the best candidates aren't looking. I'd like you to comment on that. And other people say, hey, you know what? Job boards is where people who are going to be interested in your job are going. You know, not LinkedIn. If you want a really active community that's willing to listen to you, that's a job board. Job boards are not going out of style. What's your take on that?
Job boards are evolving, and they are part of every campaign effort. You can call it a job board or a social media. The lines are blurring, but at the end of the day, you need to market your jobs, and that's what's important, is to know how and where to be able to do that and be smart about it. So I can tell you that it's a gray world, but candidates, you know, it's gray on the active-passive side too. I can be heads down at work, but at lunch hour, I'm curious to see what's out there. Suddenly, I'm an active seeker for those 10, 15 minutes at lunch. There is no kind of, certainly there are people who are clearly unemployed that you may not think are the best, but sometimes people get unemployed due to no fault of their own. These blanket statements, I think, are dangerous. So, again, we're going to, if you need to be able to put qualified people in your pipeline, your greatest likelihood of finding those eyeballs, that's the conversation we want to have with you. That's
okay.
What we're trying
and
to
do.
Yeah.
From what I've read researching your stuff and from other things, job boards is where people go to look at jobs, even if, like you said, they're doing it just casually or, you know, for a few minutes. People keep deriding them and saying, you know, they're gone the way of the dinosaur.
100% agree.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't
okay.
To us as well. People spend goo gobs of money, as I said at the beginning, right? If this weren't working, then the money wouldn't be there. Now, there are certainly changes. There's a rise of the niche boards we're seeing. We see certainly job, call LinkedIn a social site. Well, gosh, there's sure a whole lot of job posting going on there. So, again, your recruitment marketing, you're getting your word out. You need to post a message. You need to advertise. That's the fundamental message that I think we should be keeping our eye on. And how do you be smart on that?
Rayanne has a good question. Do you offer social posting for your clients?
Yes. So we can support their Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and these social outlets that provide a way to post the messaging, we can support that.
See, Rayanne didn't call in. She knows all about your business better than any of us, but she decided to criticize from Twitter rather than calling in. Dave.
Pretty easy
time.
To do.
No, that's not what happened. She's causing all the noise, so she hung up to be polite.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, there's always an excuse. Anyway, Dave, thank you for coming in. Thank you for requesting the opportunity to come on the Recruiting Animal Show. I am always flattered when somebody at your level wants to come and talk.
Very high level.
Us.
Very high.
Well, I appreciate being given this opportunity, guys. Thank you.
He's a VP in a major company, Jerry. Someone higher than you will usually get to speak to if it wasn't me.
I like it.
Okay. Now we're going to go to Jerry's show. Dave, I hope to hear from you again.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Jerry.
I don't have that capability.
You
Animal?
Don't have that control. Animal, open it.
Hey,
yeah, we got
hear
it. You
Ran. Hey,
we
Animal.
Can hear you after
hey.
The show.
Stick on the mute button. I think she's ready to go off. So stay. keep your trigger finger ready. Go ahead, Ran.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is there a lot of noise?
No.
No.
Sounds good.
Well, maybe it wasn't me making the noise before.
Yeah, it just ended when you left. I mean, coincidence? I don't know. I'm not.
Jerry,
I'm not a,
you're breaking my heart, Jerry. My first time back on the show in a long time.
Welcome back,
Rayan.
Love
so
glad you're back. How you doing?
I am doing well. I'm standing at a picture window looking at the ocean. I'm doing really well.
Nice.
Ooh. How are you doing? How are you doing?
Doing good.
Here's my point and why I was going nuts not being able to talk. He bashed social media, but they offer it to their clients because their clients want it. And, of course, they're going to offer it to their clients.
I thought that was
so,
odd, too.
What's that?
I thought that was odd, too. I'm going to bash it, but, you know, if you want it, sure. That's terrible.
Who is this?
This is Reed.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was David. I was going to kick your ass off. You can't be on
that. No. Yeah, no.
No.
Only I have the authority to kick people off. I'm just.
Okay, good. They really? Really? Okay.
You
could
have asked me to kick them off.
Well, I will.
I want to know what Kathy's big problem is here. Kathy,
okay,
are you still here?
It's a whole different...
Just relax a little bit. You've
no,
been,
wait.
You've
let,
been
me, let me
scarred,
let me make a statement before Kathy goes off. I
okay, go ahead.
Statement.
Go ahead.
I made this statement on Twitter, but it didn't get picked up.
Okay.
Companies like Broadbean and Equest have always collected big data. It's one of their main selling points is the metrics, the analytics. And now, because big data is a buzzword, Equest is banking off of that buzzword and pushing out a lot of content. And David's role is overseeing big data because that's the current buzzword in the HR technology space. And all of a sudden, it's something new. It's not anything new. It's a service that Broadbean and Equest have always provided and companies like them so that you know where your postings are working. It's why would you go and just post if you weren't actually able to gather and track the information? That's always been a capability. So the fact that it's called big data now doesn't mean they're doing anything new. It's what they've always done.
Mm-hmm. I was
thank
just
you. Side of it. That's not the side of it that I have an issue with. I was working on a, quote, big data project wherein I was asked to gather personal information on individuals from what their parents do for a living, what sports they participated in when they were 8 years old, their brothers and sisters, what movies they watch, what books they watch.
But now, hold on a second.
That all can be gathered from Facebook, Kathy. If you have an open Facebook or you allow somebody to look at your Facebook, all of that information is on Facebook.
But, Kathy, this is 3 days.
Uh-huh.
For who? I mean, you're just too ambiguous. What are you talking about?
Well, it's for a company I'm not going to name the name for because I quit the position because I felt like it was an infringement of people's privacy.
Was this just recently?
A couple of months ago. And, in fact, it
involved
my
husband. Was one of your coworkers stuck in an airport in Russia right now?
No, they just took him out. He's out of the airport now. He's not in the airport.
I know.
Yeah, Putin's got him.
They needed such Jerry. You would not want them to know all of this about you, about your family,
that's
about
your
parents.
That's why you close your Facebook. But
they already know all this stuff.
They're gathering that information from Facebook, and then they can find
it's
out
not
anything about
Facebook.
You using your social security number.
Hey, Rayanne, sweetheart, you're speaking over a lot of people, hon.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
So this was very normal. We were doing this a decade ago for the mortgage industry, for all online payments. It's not
they already know all this stuff.
From the day we all jumped on the internet, and it doesn't. There's no hiding from it. You start to type your address, and the computer can catch it, track it with other public data. I mean, they figured that out a long time ago.
I know
that.
But I resented it, and then it got mixed up with what my husband does for a living. And, you know, I had to back out of it due to conflict of interest. I mean, the whole thing was horrifying to me. You know what? I guess I'm naive, totally naive about it.
No, you just have an idealistic view of what the world should be like, and it's not like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, it's that we don't know what this stuff is. It's part of it. You know, we're all.
I mean, it's
real. The government does it, but then most people are okay. I mean, every time you get a Target card or you get your grocery card, we like the 5% off.
Right.
They know everything that we buy, when we buy it, how much milk we're using, how much gas we're using. It's just crazy.
They actually don't know as much. They've collected the data, but it's actually hard to figure it out because their data sets are so whacked out. But every time I go get a driver's license, people think I'm a drug dealer in Philadelphia because someone with my name who's born 1 month later, when they merge the fields, they can't tell the difference. So there's a lot of bad data out there. It's just there's this fear that they can really focus on you, and that's actually more damaging. But
it is. And Jerry, think about it in terms of your kids, and I know you know about that in terms of cell phones and things like that and people tracking them. You know, I just think it's and to make a decision on who to hire on big data, is that even OFCCP compliant?
Huh?
I mean,
of course not.
You know,
they can't even track people who lie about their degrees.
Yeah,
so
there used to be a website called PIPL.com, and it's still out there, but you have to pay for it. But it used to be free, and you could find any information about somebody. One of
the things I suggested
in the past is take control of all your social profiles. Take control of them so that you know what's being said about you, so that you determine.
You're either on the internet or you're not.
But you can limit some of it. You can limit some of it if you just, like you said, shut down the exposure on your Facebook. Go into Google, go into your history, and lock your history down so that Google, you tell Google, don't track it. And, you know, but it is all out there. I did work for a big data company in L.A., and it is scary to some degree if you really think about it, that they get down to the click, how long you were on it, and how you tracked through a website at how much time when you bought, when you left. So any of us that thinks this is going anywhere innocently is somewhat wrong, but it's out there, and if you manage it right, then it's
1984.
I have respect for it when it comes to the business side, what you guys are doing. It's when it crosses the line into personal and family members and grandparents and children.
But, Kathy, so many people post nonstop updates of where their kids are, what their kids are doing.
Yep.
Whose birthday it is, what their favorite color is, what their favorite food is. We're at this restaurant. People just put it out there all day long. So you can't be pissed off about the fact that it's out there.
When your babies are born, you go to the Social Security office or you submit a form getting a Social Security number for your kids, and they are tracked from that moment on. From that moment on, the government is following them. So
I'm guilty. There's naivete. I do it. I put out what my kids are doing, where I'm going. I do it. I'm guilty.
Well, then, so what's the problem, girl?
My problem is I was asked to be paid to do something that I didn't believe in. I don't believe in infringing on people's privacy. I just don't.
Yeah, I'm not. I wish you could prove what you're saying somehow.
You don't have to prove it.
I could, but it involved my husband as well, so I can't. I mean,
let's get to some show scores, because turns out I've got a job to do today.
No way.
Yeah, I got this.
Thank you for the congratulations, everyone, by the way.
Yeah, Ran, what's your score for the guest and then the host? Let's knock this out.
I'm going to give what are we? I haven't been on the show for a while, so what are we scoring, 1 to 10, or are we...
No, 0 to 10. No, we're 0 to 10,000 now.
Oh, we're...
Yeah, you've been gone for a long time.
That's big data, let me tell you.
That's you.
I'm actually going to, you know, I like what David has brought to eQuest. eQuest was a rival of mine for years and years and years. So I like what he's doing, though. eQuest is finally doing and providing some great marketing. It's about damn time. And for a long time, they did not have a presence on social media at all. So what he brings to the table and the fact that he has an HR background, I think, is highly valuable. And eQuest is very smart in that hire. So I'm going to give the guest an 8. Are we doing half? scores at all?
No, zero to 100. So you would give like an 85 if you'd like.
Oh, we are. Oh, we're doing zero to 100. No.
You haven't been gone that long. I mean, come on. You didn't see the memo.
I thought you said zero to 10 earlier, so now I'm confused. Okay, I'm going to give him an 85 then.
Okay.
And Animal was like really giving him a lot of concessions. I don't remember him treating me that well, so I'm going to give Animal a 70.
Were you a VP when he talked to you last on the show?
You know what?
Ooh.
I wasn't. I was only a director.
No, that changes everything.
So.
I mean, it does.
I've been a VP for a year now. So,
okay.
But when I was a guest, I was a director, and he treated me like crap.
Directors, yeah.
I know. That's funny.
Suck on it.
He treats all pretty women well. I read that. Pretty women and me, he treats well. That's what they said.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm not pretty? Is that what you're saying?
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. Okay, next score giver, please. Speak up.
Kathy.
All right.
Hey, Kathy, I am writing this down that this is your score. Kathy, Suzanne,
and I'm recording it.
Anderson.
And pushing it out on YouTube.
Yeah, hold on. I got to hit the record button. Seven. This is Kathy Maness.
Hey, Kathy, what's your
California.
Well,
okay,
you know,
go ahead.
I have to separate my obviously, you know, passionate feeling about the topic versus the guest and what he does. I thought he was rather boring. I felt he was a bit defensive, and he should have known to be, you know, expect something from us. But though...
I only heard half the show, so...
Yeah, I'll give the guest a 70, and I'll give Animal a 70. I thought it was okay.
Mm-hmm. I would like to underline the fact that he recognized that Twitter job postings are crap.
No,
well, they are.
Listen. If you thought it were crap, they wouldn't offer it to their clients.
Wrong.
Or if they can't get good data off of it, they won't offer it. So they'll say it's crap.
They're getting data off of it. Trust me. They're getting data.
Yeah.
They can measure the click-through.
Well, okay. Listen to his answer again. And
I
try
don't
to listen
to
it not
answer.
As someone who buys the whole Twitter recruiting hook, line, and sinker.
He was agreeing with you. He knows the value of Twitter or eQuest wouldn't have a presence on it, and they wouldn't be offering it to their clients.
No.
Oh, all right.
Customers, are you guys on Twitter? Of course we
Jerry,
are. Twitter sucks.
You
but,
want
yeah,
me to
sure.
say you're right? I'll say that, Jerry. All right. You're right.
Oh!
I made money off of Twitter.
Oh, he was mollified.
Who hasn't? But time. If you took all the time you invested in trying to dig something out of this crap and put it into a real approach to our business, far better return over there. Okay.
But not nearly as much fun.
Clearly not. Who else has a score?
I got a score. I'm going to give the guest a 60 because I think he had a lot more to offer. And I think he repeated the same thing over and over, which is that big data is great. And he gets a 60 because he dropped a few nuggets in there. But you could have boiled that down to about a five-minute chat.
Yeah.
And I'm not as susceptible to a good-sounding voice on the radio, so I wasn't in a trance.
It was flat.
Should
some
I
of these women, though, are just shut-ins at home. Their husband's at work somewhere.
I have a question. I think I gave him my score based on what he's done for eQuest since he's been there, not on the show. So I need to change my score, right? Because it's about the show, right?
Yeah, you can change your score.
Okay, I'm going to change it to a 68.
My goodness.
Oh, my God.
Did somebody just DM you?
So I'm going to give Animal a 70.
No,
I think Animal's trying to figure out how it applies to all of us, and I think that the speaker had a real chance to pitch this, but I don't think anybody walked out of it thinking it was a positive, which I think is wrong.
Because it's
from a pure effect,
and it's always been around.
I think it works if it's done right, but I don't think he explained that to us very well.
All right, man.
Jerry.
He didn't explain it well because it's always been here.
I'll give the guest a 60 as well because, number one, just like it was said, big data is not really hard to figure out. And he tell me like I'm a third grader so that everybody can understand it. He may be very smart. He may be a genius, but he needs to be able to communicate of this very out there concept, hot topic these days into a very simple thing. I tried to ask him a couple of ways.
But
I think
I'm
Animal
surprised
tried
that you were – who doesn't
what
know what job posting data is?
I understand
know that.
But
how many times have we got to ask him, what do you
I
do?
Know.
Because
I know
he's making some claims there that Career Builder and Monster can't even give you data on when you buy their expensive stuff. I can get, as far as I'm listening to him, I can get better data off what I get off LinkedIn Recruiter.
What about your ATS? Your ATS should be able to get
yeah
that.
Well, okay, so wait a minute. eQuest and Broadbean and the like work with the ATS. So he's
mm-hmm
depending upon the ATS to help provide data back also. So,
well,
right,
I
it
mean,
depends how
you can ask where you, you know, who would you hear about this job from? And there's
but
your
I
data
think he could, and I think he could have made a better point on, just like Kathy and Rayanne are saying, is he could have said, here's what we do, here's how it goes to the ATS, and then it can also dig in this deep, like I said, the NFL
mm-hmm
club. That would be highly valuable, and he's basically dissing it. So it's sort of like, I know what Broadbean did and does. And it's like, so my thing is, and the cost perspective, okay, fine. He doesn't want to give us hard numbers. That's fine. But say, it's cheaper than LinkedIn. It's cheaper than CareerBuilder. Whatever. I mean,
right,
these are people that we live in the trenches here. And I have no interest in looking at eQuest stuff at this point. Because if this is the genius,
you know,
that's helping,
look,
he
man,
can't communicate
from
it
the beginning of the show, he had to explain to Animal what real-time information is.
Well,
so
I
I'm
give
sure
you
that
that
made him think, oh, my God, I am teaching a class of second graders here.
But, Jerry, on the other side of that argument, shouldn't he have been able to, as a professional, say, oh, okay, well, real-time data is if you're at Walmart, and as an example, we had
but
a big power outage, Kathy. No, not really.
Yeah, and half of us probably weren't even listening because we know what it is. We also
yeah
know what a car is.
True.
We know what a mailbox is.
Right.
You
and
know
I
what
give,
I
okay,
mean?
Well, I
so,
give, yeah, well, I'll give Animal a 73 because I think he tried to get him back on track. By the way, anybody here that wants to have a really good read, because I've done work for that intel agency, go pick up a book called The Shadow Factory.
Okay.
Oh, really? Who wrote it?
I forget who wrote it, but it's the same thing where Tom Clancy knows too much about stuff. This guy knows too much about the Fort Meade organization. And
yeah, I'm actually surprised.
Just remember
Tom
to buy
in
cash with a hat on, and don't drive your car or take your phone.
No, he's right. He's right. I downloaded. How many people here downloaded that thing before Snowden came out? I love to learn. I went to this site. It was an NSA doc on how to do searches.
Oh.
It's actually not bad.
You know what my son does for a living, right? He's a Russian linguist, so all he does is listen on the phone and gathers data.
Don't mention any of that here, please.
Sorry, too late, Mary.
I don't want to hear it.
Wait, Skype filled
you know
in a back door.
I think she's also a tea partier, so we're
wow!
Yay!
If they've gone to church, do not mention it here.
Jerry, go pick up the book. You'll have a good read. It'll scare the bejeebers out of you.
Yeah, I hate to admit this here, but I do not read.
Okay, pick up the audio.
I scan.
You know what, that explains
I research,
everything.
But I do not
I'm
read.
Stop forwarding you.
That's
stuff
why you don't blog, Jerry.
Okay, I need another. Anybody else have a score here for us? Anybody? Anybody? Sorry to rush everybody. I'm just busy day, man. Just busy.
I understand.
Busy.
Busy and busy.
I'm going
busy
to give
good
the guest. I got to go 62 because I just, it just, we that could have been a 10-minute show.
Yeah.
Oh.
Animal 77, flat.
No.
I mean,
come on.
Yes.
That's too high.
No, I mean, and it wasn't Animal's fault. Well, it kind of was, wasn't it, for asking?
Yeah.
What is
mm-hmm
big data?
Big data, come
however,
on.
I need to, wait a minute, I need to up his score for being a vice president at the largest big data recruiting company in the world for saying
that has nothing
ipso
to do
facto
with
Twitter is bullshit for recruiting.
Of
he
course
said
up his score.
No, he said
it. It must be true. He said it because everything else he said was true.
Vice president of world's largest job posting metadata, big data company, confirms Jerry Albright's statement.
No,
Twitter is
Jerry.
BS for recruiting. That's what I need. I got it. Thanks. I'll take it from here, everybody. Have a great week. Later.
Here, folks.
Mama! Sometimes we should never been born at all. Carry on. If nothing really matters.